How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with Alex and Ryan. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day. I know it's kind of muggy outside in New York right now, but down in Tampa, the weather is beautiful. The Yankees are reporting, except for one pitcher, Ryan. Marcus Stroman decided, I'm not going to report with the rest of the pitchers and catchers yesterday. He is taking some extra time off now. According to the CBA, he doesn't actually have to be there until February 22nd, according to Eric Boland of Newsday, but I feel like it's just good practice to be there. You know, Max Fried is there, Rodon is there, Gerrit Cole is there. Why is Marcus Stroman not there? Well, I can give you a pretty good short answer. The Yankees want to trade his ass, and he doesn't want to be there because he knows what they're feeling. And, you know, when Cashman was asked recently about it, he said, we'll see what happens. That's a pretty clear, you know, when your GM says that about a player, they're trying to move that player. You know, now the question is, can they? What's the price? We know Nick Pivetta got 4 years, $55 million yesterday to go to the Padres. Pivetta's a better pitcher at this point than I think Stroman is, and he got like $11 million per season. So, like, really, what is Stroman worth? Especially because nobody's going to want to have him toss more than 140 innings. I literally think the Yankees may only be able to save like $5 million on his contract. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. They may just get rid of as much as possible to get below the third luxury tax threshold. I think that's kind of what we're looking at. But Ryan, how are you feeling today? I know you're a little bit under the weather with a cold yourself, but Stroman not being there, definitely an interesting storyline to discuss.
Yeah, this is interesting because I think what was going to be interesting to monitor about the Marcus Stroman situation was whether he was going to handle the situation without disrupting the team and disrupting kind of the energy and the mood around Yankee camp. And I think my first thought here is I'm not sure how I feel about him not being there. I'm not sure if I feel like, dude, show up, go get your work in. You were not good enough last year to do that. Even if you're going to get traded, go compete. Don't give up and give up a chance to compete, even if you were openly being shopped in the market. The team may not want to have you there, but you have something as an individual to gain from pitching in spring training and from fighting it out with other pitchers on the roster, especially knowing just how injury prone every pitcher really in baseball has become. So, I'm not trying to discredit him as a competitor. I'm not trying to discredit him as a person, but I am saying that, as a competitor, if you ask me what I would be doing, I would be in spring training. I would say I'm going to be doing everything I can to get better. My velo was down 2 miles an hour last year. I'm going to get back to camp and do everything I can to get that velo back, sit closer to 92. This team wanted to trade me, that's fine. Either A, I'm going to dominate here, and I'm going to have a chip on my shoulder, and every time I pitch well, I'm going to look into that dugout and know that there are people in that organization who didn't want me here, and I'm proving them wrong, and then I'm going to pick up that option, that third-year option, make an extra $18 million, or I'm going to get traded to an organization who's going to pay a little less than what I'm owed to get me, but the Yankees will foot part of my bill. And I, when I pitch against the Yankees, I can know that they're paying me partially to kick their ass, something like that. We're like, you've got to use that to fuel your competitive fire, and you got to be there every single day. So I think as I talk this one out loud, I'm a little more of like, hey, man, you should be there. You're not really good enough to not be there. Again, if the CBA says he doesn't have to be there until the 22nd, he doesn't legally have to be there. He's not legally obligated to. He's not breaking anything in his contract. So from a legal standpoint, nothing here is out of line. But Alex, I mean, this is a guy who clearly, maybe also harbors feelings of not wanting to be there, the same way the Yankees harbor feelings of not wanting him to be there. One thing I have not given enough credit to Nestor Cortes and Jose Trevino for is the fact that those two guys had their roles clearly snatched from them before they were traded, and you never heard any vocal complaints about the two not being willing to show up, not being willing to compete for a roster spot. They were there. I didn't hear a peep from Jose Trevino when Wells took his job. We did hear a peep from Cortes saying he wants to be a starter, but he said he would do anything to help this team win, and he lived to that word. He was willing to do whatever, play in whatever role he had to help this team win ball games. So I commend both of them for that. And to Stroman, again, it's like, dude, I'm saying this almost from the perspective of as an individual, I think it's best for him to be in camp, and as a ball player, it's best for him to be honing his skill set, because Alex, how many people want to take on Marcus Stroman at a 4.31 ERA? His stuff plus dropped by 9 points last year. He's one of the biggest stuff plus droppers in baseball from 2023 to 2024. Does anyone want this? Does anyone want this? The command got worse. Like, does anyone want this? And the answer so far this winter has been no. And I don't think when you're trying to facilitate a trade that if you're the one that no one wants, it's not that the Yankees aren't trying to trade you. It's not that other teams don't need starting pitching. It's that they don't want you specifically. I think you should be in camp, even if you're unhappy with the team. Even if you're delivering quotes where you're saying, hey, guys, you know, talking to the media like, hey, not happy, not knowing what my spot is on the team, not happy, not knowing if I'm going to get traded, but I'm going to compete because guys get hurt and I'm a competitor and I'm going to be on that mound. And if somebody goes down, you could bet your sweet ass that Will Warren's not beating me out, that Yoenis Gomez ain't beating me out, that JT Brubaker ain't beating me out, that Carlos Carrasco ain't beating me out. You could bet your sweet ass I'll be in that rotation, and you can bet your sweet ass that I'm going to win a lot of games for this team. That's the mentality I think you got to have as a competitor. Again, that's what I'm looking for, and I'm not getting that, and I think that's why I'm displeased, where I'm not seeing a motivated Marcus Stroman. I'm seeing a Marcus Stroman who looks a little defeated and isn't coming to terms with the reality that a trade of Marcus Stroman is not 100% going to happen. Like, we don't know if it's going to happen or not. So there's that.
Yeah. And listen, if he even goes to camp and he gets hurt, he still gets paid. So it doesn't sound like it matters, you know, in terms of his financial, I guess, gains here. But I agree. It's not a good look for him. It's not a good look for the situation. And I'd like to point out that anything the Yankees tell us publicly oftentimes is a load of crap. You know what I mean? Like, it's just another example of like, oh, I spoke to Marcus Stroman. He's in a good headspace. He feels good mentally. He's okay. Like, things are a little bit awkward, but it's fine. And then he doesn't show up to camp. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, everything that you just told us, manager Aaron Boone, was complete BS. And like, Boone's done this for a long time, and it's fine. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I get he has to say what he has to say. He's protecting his players, protecting the image of the franchise. It is what it is. But I'm just reiterating the fact that like, things they tell us in public are often not what they seem, and oftentimes things are definitely a little bit suspect. So, you know, at this point, I think Stroman is absolutely gone. I think the Yankees would take anything at this point. And to be quite honest with you, Ryan, part of why we keep hearing the conflicting Nolan Arenado reports, with like Jack Curry says no, Andy Martino says no, that John Morosi says yes, and you know Mark Feinstein says yes, and this guy from the Cardinal side of things says there is interest. The only reason I could see there being any sort of interest is not even to do with Nolan Arenado anymore. It's like, if you don't want to kick in any money for Arenado, you have to take this amount of Stroman's contract just to get rid of him, right? That is the only way, because like, to get rid of Stroman, you might have to pair him with a prospect. But if you can get Arenado and offload Stroman, then there's the avenue of like, okay, that could potentially make sense. I still don't like Arenado. I still would rather be way more aggressive to go get – I mean, listen, I wrote an article this morning because I couldn't help myself. Go after the other Cardinal, Brendan Donovan. But again, very unlikely. Arenado's the one they're trying to move, obviously, and the money is just a problem. The Yankees do not want to take on that much money. It's evident. It's obvious. It's the reason that we keep hearing from the Yankees side of things it's not happening. And the reason we're hearing it's not happening is because the Cardinals are not willing to do what the Yankees want, and that is to give them the money that they're seeking to make that contract, you know, palatable. So right now in spring training, a little bit of interesting situation because they're going into the year with Peraza, LeMahieu, and obviously Oswaldo Cabrera competing at third base. We don't know how that will shake out. We'll keep you guys updated. But so far, the pitching is looking like they're getting into the groove. We see a lot of happy faces. We know Ron Guidry's down there working with Fried and with Rodon and Clark Schmidt, all these guys, given his veteran expertise. So we love that always, the Yankee vets coming in and helping the guys, you know, get a little bit better and maybe tweak some stuff and maybe approach things, even the mental fortitude. I think a lot of players these days sometimes are a little bit mentally weak. I think those vets, like those older guys, they just, there's something tough about them. You know what I mean? They just got that toughness, that old school toughness. And I think that, honestly, guys like Rodon could use that. You know, Rodon gets a little flustered at times. Gerrit Cole's got that old school toughness. And I think Fried has it as well, but, you know, having that mental capacity, that mental element to pitching, it's what wins and loses you games. You know what I mean? Like, getting flustered, you're screwed. The second you start doubting yourself, you lose your command. You know, you misplace a ball. We've seen it happen to Rodon over and over and over again. He even he spoke about it last year. I tried to follow Garrett Cole's lead, forget about every single, you know, pitch. Every single pitch was new, no matter what happened before. You know, these old guys can kind of help with that mental attribute. So I'm kind of interested to see, like, you know, maybe some small minor tweaks that we've heard. But we know there are some injury stuff. Obviously, we heard about who was the guy that got injured. Jake Cousins has a forearm situation. And then I think it was Clayton Beter that also has a little bit of an issue. You know, Ryan, catch me up with some injury stuff that, you know, you've talked about over the most recent days in your articles.
Yeah, so Jake Cousins is down with a forearm strain. His status for opening day is uncertain, and leaning kind of like he's not going to pitch on opening day. They said it's a 3 to 4 week thing. 3 to 4 weeks, that's basically, I mean, that's not opening day exactly, but it's close to there, and then you have to factor in that 3 to 4 week ramp up. It also doesn't make sense to rush a guy to be ready for opening day when you don't have to, especially in the bullpen. The Yankees will fill out the period of time which they don't have Jake Cousins very well with the depth they have internally. Clayton Beter, he has a shoulder issue, had a shoulder issue in the winter. That one is a little concerning, and I know the Yankees said he's throwing, and I'm inclined to believe that. I'm not doubting that. I'm not doubting that he's throwing. I'm not doubting that he currently feels good. But I don't love that he didn't get surgery on his shoulder last year when there was some fear in the organization he would require surgery, and it cut him out of the season for like 4 months, and then he has another shoulder issue in the offseason. So I'm going to be monitoring that shoulder very, very closely, and if it comes out that Beter has a shoulder issue, again, I'm going to be of the opinion that it's far more serious and that that will require surgery. And so Beter is – he's not – it's like if a player was, if you wanted to put a player's medical situation, yes, he's healthy, he's clean, he's, there's, you know, they did their physicals, all that stuff. But I am watching closely how Beter's arm looks and how his shoulder is and how his command looks and how his fastball velo is, because if I see sharp declines in any of those two, I'm going to start sounding alarm bells. And I think those are the only two injuries we've heard of to this point. Eric Reselman had an allergic reaction at spring training. He's in stable condition. That was very random. Like, it was like kind of out of the blue. Like, yeah, guy, he's hospitalized. He has an allergy issue. Allergy issues can be serious. So thank God, he stable condition. He stayed there overnight. I think we should get more information today about that. I'm not 100% certain if we will during the afternoon or early evening or, you know, while we're recording. That is still up in the air, I guess. Also, kind of on the note of Marcus Stroman, according to Joel Sherman, this is not a protest of like the trade situation. I have no idea. I have no idea what's going on here. I have no clue. I wonder if maybe he's, I actually have no idea. I have none. I saw it as like, I'm not going to participate in these voluntary workouts because I don't want to, because you guys are going to try to trade me. I don't know. Like, Alex, now that you know, that hearing that it's reportedly not a situation where it's protesting the trade or anything like that, what is your thought process? Like, what do you, I don't know, like, what do you think about Stroman's thing now? Because I don't know what to think even.
I mean, what, like the fact that he's not showing up?
Well, the fact that he's not showing up, but like apparently it's not because of the trade. He's just not showing up for this, and then he will be back when it's mandatory for him to be there on February 22nd.
I mean, maybe he's a vet and he just wants a little extra vacation. I don't know. I mean, the truth is he didn't pitch in the postseason, so it's not like he was doing anything. Like he was riding the bench and watching. I just, for a team that has aspirations to win a chip, like, you expect your players to be there. You're being paid $17 million. Brother, I would have been there weeks ago, waiting at the freaking front door to be let in, to be paid $17 million in a season. You know what I mean? Like, have some gratitude. So I do think that I don't care if he's not there if it's not about the trade, if it's not about anything. Unless it's a health reason, something's going on with his family, personal issue, if that's the case, and so be it, you know, that I can sympathize with that. But if it's something just ridiculous, like, be there, dude. You got to be there. You got to be at camp. You got to be there. Garrett Cole's there. Max Fried's there. Rodon's there. Clark Schmidt's there. Everyone's there. Devin Williams is freaking there with no beard. Everyone's got to be at camp when you're supposed to be. And I don't know what the situation is, but, you know, I'm sure we'll find out at some point. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt for now just because I don't know if it's a personal issue. But if it's not, I think it's kind of inexcusable, to be quite honest with you. Even if you're going to be treated, even if you're pissed off, you're making too much money to be upset. You know what I mean? Like, you could punch me in the face for 17 mil and I'd walk away happy with two teeth left. You know what I mean? Like, that's the reality. Like, so, you know, at the moment, we'll see how things progress. I do think that it's going to be hard to trade him. He's not that valuable. He's kind of bad. His velocity's down. He clearly is a little bit, I mean, obviously he's an interesting personality. Last year he was fine. You know, obviously he was very energetic. He was good in the clubhouse. I don't think he was a problem at all. So I'm not speaking bad about him in any way, shape, or form with his personality. But I do think that this is a little bit of a red flag, and the Yankees clearly have been trying to move him, and he knows that. And maybe they're telling him, like, we have something in the works, just hang by. Maybe they're telling him to stay away. Like, you know, we're going to move you in the next couple days, so, like, you know, we don't want you to, like, get assimilated and, like, get in the groove and then just get moved in the next 2 days anyway. So maybe there's something coming up, and they told him to stay away. Who knows? So we'll see how things, you know, kind of progress in that realm. But who's the guy that fills your number six spot at this point, Ryan? If you're looking at – I mean, it's got to be Will Warren as the – just de facto number six option at this point, I have to imagine.
Yeah, Will Warren's the six if Stroman's gone. And look, I like Will Warren a lot. I've talked about how much I like Will Warren. So, you know, I think he's a capable six starter, but I do understand wanting to have a veteran kind of in the mix. I think Brubaker is an interesting. I can't tell if it's Brubaker or Brubaker. I'm going to have to refine my pronunciations. But he is someone who has starting experience, who, again, the team went out of their way because he had an arb. It was an arb three situation. Yankees could have declined that club option and not have him, not have committed money to Brubaker and not have him on the team. But they chose instead to pick up his contract, guarantee the money for 2025, and he doesn't have minor league options either. So the Yankees chose to give out that contract. It's very similar to the one they gave to Luke Weaver the year prior. It is an indication to me that they like the pitcher, they like the player, and they think he's going to be an impact pitcher because he is 100% going to make the team if he stays healthy because he has guaranteed money and he has no minor league options unless you DFA him, which would be a weird way to spend $1.8 million considering how the Yankees, again, will just not sign guys they don't feel 100% certain about bringing on the team. So, Alex, if Brubaker can impress in spring training, he may be the sixth starter. That's the one thing I'll throw in there. But, yeah, Will Warren, in my opinion, is like the front runner for that role, assuming Stroman gets traded. And also, here's the thing, guys, and this is why I don't really love falling into this like kind of trap with pitching depth. Just because you have a log jam in spring training for pitching doesn't mean it's a problem. Guys get hurt. Guys tear their UCLs more in spring training than in any other portion of the season. It is a matter of when, not if. It is a matter of when. I hate to be the doomer here, but it's a matter of when for someone getting hurt and someone of impact getting hurt. Because it's going to happen every year. It's got nothing to do with the Yankees. It's got nothing to do with their medical staff. It's got nothing to do with Aaron Boone. It's got nothing to do with Matt Blake. It's got nothing to do with Brian Cashman. It's got everything to do with how pitchers are and how injury-prone the position is. So, you know, I wouldn't even like force a Marcus Stroman trade unless, you know, I get a decent enough offer for him. Like, I just don't feel a need to do it. I feel like I need as much pitching depth as possible. So, you know, again, just wanted to throw that out there before I wrap things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's reasonable. You know, when you're looking at a situation like pitching, having more depth is always a benefit. Even if they don't end up trading Stroman, like, he's there. And you're paying him already. It is what it is. You're not going to get much in return anyway from him moving. The only thing you're looking to accomplish by trading Stroman, Ryan, is just to get under the $301 million luxury tax threshold. We're like $4 million over it. The only reason we'd be willing to trade him is just to get under that number. So that's kind of how I foresee the next couple of days or next couple of weeks unfolding. But yeah, like, listen, another storyline I wanted to discuss with you today is Ben Rice. And Ben Rice showed up wearing catcher gear. And manager Aaron Boone said he is in competition for the backup catcher spot. So I thought that was really cool because he's, you know, was a first baseman last season. And I think he's a competent backup to Paul Goldschmidt, who's, you know, very, very healthy historically, knock on wood. I think that our backup catcher position is open for the taking. Alex Jackson, you know, decent framer, had what, 80th percentile frame last year, and not great when it comes to pass balls or like caught stealing, stuff like that. But I think his bat, no bueno. He's a okay player at best. Like, he's a below average player in general. Okay defender. Ben Rice is more interesting because he's a lefty, obviously. Same with Austin Wells. So, you know, you're getting that short right porch benefit. But he also developed in the minors as a catcher. Now, I don't necessarily know how he'll fare in the majors because we're talking about a player that, like, literally they abandoned his catcher duties to play first base. More because they had a need. But it's not like he's known as an elite defensive catcher, even a good one. How do you see Ben Rice fitting into the mix here as a catcher? Maybe even winning that backup job. I don't think it's out of the equation that he could win that job, though.
I do not disagree at all. I think it's totally in the cards or on the table for Ben Rice to win a job as the backup catcher. And look, you know, Ben Rice is someone the Yankees like as a defensive catcher. They would not let him battle for this position if they did, or keep him at the position if they didn't feel comfortable with his defensive abilities. And we've seen the Yankees develop catching defense at a much higher rate than most organizations. Just a year ago, the public perception on Austin Wells was that he could be a decent defensive player, not an elite one. A decent defensive player. And it was you and I, Alex, it was us here, who were pushing that, no, look at the numbers, look at the film, he is a good framer, and he can stick at catcher. There's no reason to push him to left field, there's no reason to push him to first base, he is a catcher. And not to say that Ben Rice shouldn't have that first base flexibility, he should. I agree with Aaron Boone that he absolutely should. But I also like that they're going to keep him as a catcher as well, because as you mentioned, that opens the door for more at-bats. Ben Rice is someone who I still fully believe in offensively. If there's a believe-in meter, Ben Rice's believe-in meter for me is still extremely high. He hits the ball super hard. He makes good swing decisions. He hits the ball in the air. He's a smart guy. He's a powerful hitter. He's added some muscle this winter. I just saw a tweet. He just hit a ball off the scoreboard. And I don't know if it's, I don't know if there's a scoreboard in right field now. Maybe that's changed. But if there isn't a scoreboard in right field, that means he just hit the ball the other way off the scoreboard, because the scoreboard we know is the one in left center field. Just want to point that out there. So, you know, he is someone who I have a great deal of interest in watching in spring training. And there are three places he could play on any given day: DH, first base, catcher. Have him catch one day, have him play first base to give Goldschmidt a little bit of a rest, then have him play a little DH if you need to give him a little rest as well. If you need to give Stan a little rest as well. Maybe that day you move Bellinger. You could just have Goldschmidt play first base on those days. But you could have, you know, maybe Bellinger play first, Grisham play left field or center field, whichever position, or center field because Dominguez is playing left, I forgot. That's a way to give Goldschmidt a day off and Stanton a day off if you need to. That's a way to also align your offense if one of those two guys are hurt and then the other needs a day off. The Yankees could do a lot of things with that offense, with their offense, if Ben Rice clicks immediately as well. Because if he hits and it's instant, like guys mashing, guys, the guy he's got to be alive every single day kind of hitting. And that could be like a 115 WRC plus. The OBP is pretty decent when he's on. The on-base skills are pretty good. Maybe you solve your leadoff spot. I don't know, right? And hey, man, if you get a 115 WRC plus out of someone who can play first base, and Bellinger is able to stick in center, which I think he will, but I'm just saying, if you don't have to force, if that player isn't Bellinger, you're going to have a really deep lineup, and you're going to hit a lot of home runs. And again, it comes back to, like, the Yankees need to have as much offensive depth as humanly possible. It's why we're pushing so hard to get an infielder, because you bring in like a Willie Cashier, let's say, and like, let's say Ben Rice takes that leap and he's able to play some first base and catch and DH a little bit. You know, if somebody goes down at either of those three positions, you've got somebody right there who can play. When Stanton goes down, because he will, you and I both know, Alex, he 100% will sustain an injury at some point during the 2025 season. Having to go to Ben Rice at DH would not be the worst thing in the world. Having him and Wells alternate catcher DH, that's kind of ideal. In my opinion, that's ideal. That's how I would handle things long term. And before people say, well, you're gonna have two left-handed catchers, dude, the Yankees had two right-handed catchers in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022. Wells is the first left-handed catcher they've had in God knows how long. Whether it was Gary and Romine, Gary and Higgy and Trevino, The Yankees have always had, like, and lefties are the least common pitcher you face in baseball. If my detriment is left-handed pitching at the catcher position, oh no. Oh my God. The horror. Oh no. Like, the Yankees have done that before. I don't see why people are throwing a fit about it now. They've done it before with a handedness that's way worse to do it with. It's way worse to have no answer to right-handed pitching than no answer to left-handed pitching, because there's just more righties out there. And look, yeah, Garrett Crochet might kill the Yankees if catching group. Yeah, he might do that. That will suck for us, I guess. But Garrett Crochet is one pitcher. Do you know how many good right-handed starting pitchers are in the American League? You know, they have Kyle Bradish coming back for the Baltimore Orioles. Grayson Rodriguez is on the Baltimore Orioles. I'm just going to pull up right-handed starting pitching and kind of give you guys the guys in the AL you're going to have to think about. Seth Lugo, George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, Tanner Houck. You have Michael Wacha. Jack Flaherty went back to the AL. Hunter Brown. These are like the best pitchers on their teams. I mean, Blue Jays' best pitcher is Kevin Gausman. Orioles' best pitcher is probably Kyle Bradish. Rays' best pitcher is, it's Shane McClanahan. He's left-handed. Red Sox, Garrett Crochet, left-handed. Guardians, it's Shane Bieber or Tanner Bibee. Both right-handed. Royals, it's Cole Reagans, left-handed, but the other guys are right-handed. Tigers, it's Flaherty, he's left-handed. Twins, it's Lopez, right-handed. Astros, it's Framber or Brown. Mariners, it's one of those a billion righties they have. Rangers, Eovaldi, righty. So there are a lot of right-handed threats to deal with. There's just more right-handed pitchers than there are left-handed pitchers. There's just so many of them. I don't think the Yankees need to have a solution at catcher to hit left-handed pitching. They can be, and I think Wells can even develop into that with enough reps, too. I think that's the other thing we were forgetting, that Wells and Rice hit lefties at the minor league level. Can they do it at the major league level? Totally possible.
And I'd say probable, because Ben Rice has pretty good splits against lefties. So we'll see how things progress. But Rice obviously has to get the reps to begin with. And as you said, injury to Stanton could lead Ben Rice to being a DH. They don't really have another like big power bat to just like slot right in there as a worst case scenario. So I think that Rice does have a decent profile in that regard. I am curious to see how things continue to progress with him at the catcher position, because having that versatility is not a bad thing. But aside from that, I mean, that's most of the news. I mean, when it comes to Arenado, like I said before, a lot of conflicting reports. Unless the Cardinals are willing to dump a ton of money into this prospective deal, the Yankees are not going to go down this road. The Boston Red Sox getting, let's talk about that for a second, Ryan. The Boston Red Sox getting Alex Bregman, though, is concerning to me, because the Red Sox last year were a pushover. They were a joke. They were nobodies. This year, not so much. I got Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman and Walker Buehler. Like, they got a nice couple of free agents this year, and or rather via trade for Crochet. So looking at their core offense, though, you know, Yoshida, Bregman, Duran, I mean, they have Rafael Devers, Sedina. Like, they have a couple of really good players, man. Like, do you visualize the Red Sox being a pushover this year? Because I don't think so. I think they're a pretty decent team. They're not going to be, like, they're not as good as the Yankees, in my opinion, roster to roster. But their offense has, they could be a decent team offensively.
Yeah, I share the same opinion of, like, look, the Yankees, most projected standings are going to have the Yankees finishing ahead of the Red Sox. But the margin of error, but it's within the margin of error. And, you know, we're not talking about a 5-6 win gap. We're talking about like a 2-3 win gap in terms of just projected wins. So, for example, Fangraphs projects the Yankees to win 87 games and the Red Sox win 84. 84.3 to 87.3. There's a three win gap. If you just use their, like, without factoring in playing time, just like total war, Yankees have a more favorable projection here, 89.5, Red Sox 82.6. The Bat X projects 86.1 wins for the Yankees, 84.3 for the Red Sox. Pecota projects about 80 for the Red Sox and about 89 for the Yankees. There are just, like, again, the Yankees are going to consistently project to be better than the Red Sox, regardless of really what projection system you use. But, and here's the big thing, just because they're projected to win more games does not mean they're going to win more games. There's a margin of error for this. It's about 6 wins. So let's look at, like, Fangraphs projections. Again, 87 wins for the Yankees, 84 wins for the Red Sox. And if you use their distribution, which tells you a team's ceiling at, like, 75th percentile outcome and 25th percentile outcome, the Yankees have a 25th percentile outcome of winning 83 games. So if the Yankees have like a 25th percentile outcome and the Red Sox have their median outcome, the Red Sox should win the division. That's just kind of how that works. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think ultimately that we're going to see the Yankees in a position where, you know, they're going to, I guess, I don't think the Yankees are going to be bad next year. I don't think the Yankees are going to, like, not be competitive or anything like that. But I do think, yeah, like, the Yankees are not, like, titans in the American League and lording over a group of losers. They're a good team in a league that has a lot of good and flawed teams. The Yankees are also a good and flawed team. And that's where the addition of an infielder would be really cool because, Alex, if they were to add a quality major league infielder, you would suddenly feel like, okay, they're still a flawed team, but they are good on the bases, they're good defensively, they're good offensively, and they're good pitching-wise. That should be enough to win the World Series. And that's kind of like that. That's where that next step comes in. I know people are saying Nolan Arenado because the Red Sox got Bregman, and that certainly takes off who I thought Arenado was going to off the board. But I don't see the Yankees circling back on Arenado. I still don't think it makes sense. We have beaten that drum a million times, Alex. The only people who have suggested that the Cardinals and the Yankees are going to engage in conversations regarding Nolan Arenado are They're not local guys. They're not guys that are directly involved in the Yankee organization. This reeks of, like, a team trying to get someone to make an offer. Like, hey, well, the Yankees really need a third baseman, and they might talk to us about Arenado. So if you guys don't do something, Nolan Arenado would love to be a Yankee. He's not going. So we have the leverage. And all these other teams, I mean, the teams that are apparently Arenado's willing to go to are, like, the Dodgers, the Padres. Like, they're all, like, we're good, man. Like, cool. Trade Arenado to the Yankees. Couldn't care less. Don't care. You know what I mean? Like, if you're the Los Angeles Dodgers with Max Muncy at third base, you're really like, shoot, we really need to move off of the guy so that we can play him. We can play freaking Nolan Arenado at third and trade Max Muncy. Absolutely not. Do you think the Padres are thinking, man, we should really get Nolan Arenado so that we could get rid of Manny Machado or like, that's not happening. That's not what they want to do. That's not going to make them better. They're not. That's not what the Padres are trying to do. They're not trying to add money. The Dodgers do not need to add money, and it would cost them quite a lot of money to get Arenado. And the Yankees don't care for him. So what this really screams of is the Cardinals have nowhere to send Nolan Arenado. And unless the Yankees get a completely favorable trade, which is like I'm trading Marcus Stroman, I'm getting rid of his contract, they're taking on the option, we're getting Arenado, we're getting Ryan Helsley, and we trade like a slapdick prospect. That's the only way I really make that deal. I want to cover all my bases. I want to have Stroman gone. I want to get another stud closer, just add another one to the bullpen. And that's the situation where I'll be okay with it. But the Cardinals never doing that, and the Yankees know that they're never doing that. So I don't expect that to happen. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I got it. It just pisses me off seeing that stuff, man. I'm sorry. It's just so not happening.
Yeah, it's not. And listen, so a little bit more news on the Stroman situation. Andy Martino said that he's already taken his Yankee physical, taking a couple extra days, not holding out or staying away long term, but is not holding, or rather, full expectations he will be with the camp at camp over the next few days. So as I said before, don't know if it's a personal issue, if he just wanted a couple extra days of vacation, maybe he was away, who knows, but seems like he will be showing up to camp and, you know, like I said, wanted to reserve the negativity or the criticism before we found anything out there, but, you know, glad to hear it's not like disgruntled absence because that would have been a little bit more of a problem, but doesn't seem like it's a much of an issue and the Yankees don't really care that much. So just wanted to, you know, roundabout get you guys that information as it unfolded because, you know, wanted to be accurate on that front, but always happy to hear your thoughts down below in the YouTube comment section. As always, my friends, spring training updates will be coming out daily for you. So everything spring training for the Yankees, as things get underway, we'll have information and news and hopefully a lot of good stuff to discuss over the coming weeks as we approach Grapefruit League games and a lot more analysis to be had. So as I said before, make sure to drop a like and subscription, 5-star review on Apple and Spotify if you're so kind, and we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode. Perfect.